This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we're focusing on the juvenile court system here in Rutherford County. And again, we remind you, if you have a question dealing with a court case that is in juvenile court at this time, we're unable to take any questions dealing with that simply because it is in court. So we won't be able to answer those questions, but if you have general questions dealing with the juvenile court system, just give us a call, 893-1450. We're going to be learning today about what is available at the juvenile court system, what happens there, just a little bit of everything going on over there. Judge Donna Scott Davenport is with us this morning. Donna, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. A little cool outside.
Absolutely.
What is it, 20? 3 degrees.
Yeah,
that is cool. And Keith Siskin is with us.
I've been called worse.
How are you today?
Good, Bart. Thank you.
The words freeze sometimes as they're trying to get out in 23 degree temperatures. This is probably one of the coldest mornings we've had. And we know winter is definitely here. Well, tell us, does the season have any impact on the amount of cases you hear in juvenile court? Is it seasonal, or is it pretty fluid all year long, I guess we could
say?
Well,
I think it's fluid, Bart, but it differs. Like when the children have been out for the holidays, a little extra time on their hands, they may get in a little more trouble. But when they're in school, we may have a lot more disorderly conducts and disruptions at school and brings those children in. And then, of course, the holidays always brings conflict with our families that are fighting custody battles or visitation issues and that type thing. So it stays fluid. It just kind of changes priority over depending on what the holiday is.
You know, I guess I didn't realize that issues in school, fighting and things of that sort, got into juvenile court. I guess when we're thinking about issues like that, you don't think that the students would be getting that rough, but obviously things have changed.
Well, we do have quite a few students that are disruptive in school, and our SROs do a great job, and our administration with the city and the county schools do a great job to try to maintain those without bringing them into the system. But when it's all warranted, they will make an arrest and bring them in and charge them with an offense. And also, you know, it's against the law to be truant. That's something I'm hoping we're going to be able to focus on next month with our program. But we also have a docket dedicated to that. And children bring in drugs and possibly weapons, possibly usually knives, to school. You know, we have a zero policy tolerance for that. Mm-hmm. So those type of issues get them in trouble at school as well.
Now, if they have something that looks like a weapon, I've heard stories about toys that look like weapons that are not really weapons, and some of them just even pictures of weapons. Is that a zero tolerance also?
Well, I think that is a better question directed to the Board of Education or the city schools, but if they were to use that toy and cause somebody to fear for their life being in danger, mm-hmm. that might result to an assault charge, which they could be charged with a toy or with a real weapon.
So you're really working off of what the Board of Education sends to you.
Or the SROs, which do mm-hmm. a great job on okay. what they filter out.
And are there laws that are written that guide you, or are these laws sort of changing as the time goes on?
It's no, a criminal offense, which we call delinquent acts in juvenile court, are the same. Whatever the law says a criminal act is, then the children, their burden of proof for the state to prove or for an arrest is the same.
Okay. As you look at some of the issues that you're working on right now, sort of give us an idea of what happens in the day at the juvenile court system here.
Well, we have a variety of things. Every day is different. I primarily deal with the delinquent charges and the abuse cases, and then any appeals from the magistrates, or all-day hearings of custody after they've appealed them take a day or two to hear. Maybe Magistrate Siskin could add as to what his week mounts up to. It's a little different.
Yeah, my focus is more on the civil end of our dockets. And a lot of people don't realize that juvenile court handles not only the juvenile delinquents and truancy matters and things like that, but we also handle most other matters that involve children at all. For example, today I'm hearing child support all day long. I do child support dockets twice a week. And the custody dockets between parents who have never been married, I hear those type cases usually on Mondays and Wednesdays. And then my Fridays are kind of a mixed bag. I help the judge with some of the delinquent cases on Fridays, and I hear some of the Department of Children's Services cases on Fridays as well.
So if a family is separating and they're married, that would be resolved in the divorce courts. But if they're not married, the child custody issue would be resolved in juvenile courts. Is that right?
Yeah, typically that's the case. The circuit and chancery courts have the divorce jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction over children born out of wedlock. And so most of the cases fall that way. Although circuit and chancery share jurisdiction of the children born out of wedlock, but most of those cases come our way because that's what our court has traditionally handled.
Once you make a decision, does that pretty well stick as far as who has custody of the child? Because oftentimes those persons, I would imagine, would go on to other affairs, whatever you would like to call them, and you would have a new partner and the family unit changes. Do the decisions you make go on with those new relationships?
Yes. Now, let me preface that by saying any decision I make, any final decision, can be appealed to the judge. But once it becomes confirmed as the final order of our court, it sticks until somebody brings it back to court and asks us to change it.
You know, as we're sitting here talking about these things, you suddenly realize how complicated our world is. The family units that we used to think of as traditional family units, are they in the minority at this point, or are they about 50-50? What is that?
I think they're in a minority of what we see, but then we're top-heavy with those type of cases. You know, so I don't know if that's a fair conclusion or not, but that is what we see.
So we're seeing some challenges today that you are having to face and try to untangle that 20 years back were not even dreamed of.
Absolutely. And one of the main things that we have that is so convoluted is juvenile court has exclusive jurisdiction over abuse cases. So anytime a child has been removed into the care and custody of the Department of Children's Services, those cases have to be heard in juvenile court. And we may have four children, and we may have one mother and four daddies. And they all have their rights, and they have to be notified, and the department has to work with each parent to try to reunify that family. So that's probably one of our biggest, and that's where we are really loaded down as far as my docket goes, is the abuse cases. And Magistrate Siskin docket is loaded down with the support, the child support, and the custody hearings that go with that.
How can we change, or can we change society? What can be done to fix this? Is there a fix for it?
I've been here almost 13 years, Bart, and I don't have an answer, and it seems to be the worst I've ever seen it. So I don't have an answer for that. Magistrate, you got one?
No, I mean, I think you know, it starts at the top. Everybody is has an opinion politically about which way society needs to go, but you know, it looks from my experience in the court system that it's very hard to legislate morality.
And the children are the ones who are hurt, it sounds
exactly
like. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
I'm close.
Good.
How are you all doing?
We're doing cold.
Well, let me tell you, I appreciate the lady and your gentleman there for admitting the truth, that nobody seemed to have the answer. Isn't it funny when people are running for an office, they always have the answers, and we're still stuck in the same place? But, you know, a lot of people say, hey, you're on the radio a lot, Casey. And some of them even say, y'all just stop the radio. And some of them say, I love what you say. And some of them say, the world don't want the truth anymore.
What is the truth? Tell us what that is.
Okay. First of all, we stuck the government in our house instead of God. Did anybody hear me out there? We let the government come in our house and try to raise our children. Let me give you a scenario about the government and even the world. If the government could raise your children, then why is the entire country in the shape that it's in? But you can't, and so you guess, you cannot keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, especially when you're lost. We're paying a lot of money for righteousness. But why in the heck are there so much wrong going on?
You know, and that you're bringing up some good points. And I think we've touched on that a bit this morning. But it all goes back to the parents, it seems like. We need to get them right. We need to get them to be parents, I guess. And that's what we're not seeing. From what Judge Davenport has said this morning, you're having issues where there are three or four fathers, three or four mothers, the Department of Children's Services, all in there trying to untangle this thing. That has to be complicated, Judge Davenport.
And it is, and that's why juvenile court is such a different animal, and we're statute-driven than any other court. It's because our purpose is to protect the morals and safety of our children as far as those that are suffering. And it's a two-edged sword sometimes, because our law dictates that we, the department and the courts, are supposed to do and give services to help our families get back on their feet, because we're not in the business to bust up families, but to bring them back together healthy and safely. And when that doesn't happen, then there is a track that's called termination and adoption for these children. But that's sometimes a long track. And it's very complicated, and our laws are very specific about what we can and cannot do and how we must rule and what our burden is. And our burdens are very high in these type of situations.
And I guess the long track sometimes puts the children in different homes, whether they're relatives or whether they're foster homes, and that creates an additional set of problems.
It does. The law changed several years ago, which was fantastic for permanency for our children, in that if a parent has failed to significantly progress in whatever their issues were to get their children back to them, then about at the 12-month mark, the department will file a petition to terminate parental rights. And then we have to hear that in a certain amount of time. And then if we terminate, then the children, after the appeal time is run, then the children can be adopted. But they have to already be in an adoptive home at that time for that to happen, so that we know that the children are going to have permanency with somebody.
Well, let's just sort of look at what might be happening as all of this goes down through the court system. Grandparents. Do grandparents step forward and say, I want to take child. I want to take care of the child?
Absolutely. We have a lot that the grandparents file on their own, and the department's not involved at all. We have a lot of aunt and uncles. We have neighbors. We have other relatives that come in and go that know that children are being neglected, and they want to step in. So we have a lot of those cases that the department's not even involved in. And if the department is involved, they do screen out. They ask the parents, give us relatives, and they try to do that first and place with the relative before they place in state custody.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
Yeah, I heard yesterday on the radio in the state of Georgia that juvenile, when they get to 17, they're tried as an adult. I was wondering what the age is here. And when they took God out of school here, that's when the discipline problem went amok. We used to play cowboys and Indians at school, bring our toy pistols, there's no problem, trade knives at school. I just don't understand how the train could have jumped the track so fast here. And I'll hang up and listen.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
There is a statue. We have two statues. We call it the transfer statue, that a child starts, if they are a minor, they start in juvenile court, and it's up to the district attorney's office to decide if that child needs to have a transfer hearing in front of juvenile court to determine if there's anything that we can do to continue to rehabilitate or help them in juvenile court. And if not, then they are transferred over to the circuit criminal court. And to answer your question about age, there are 11 offenses, and there are some of your worst offenses, that a child at any age, possibly a petition could be filed. Our statute is for any offense at the age of 16 or 17 that child, a petition could be filed, if that helps the caller out.
Now, are these considered adult-type offenses?
Well, an offense is an offense. It's the same if a child commits it or an adult commits it. We have in that transfer process hearing three things that the court shall find, and then there's a litany of about seven alternatives that the court weighs, given greater weight either to the defendant to stay in juvenile court or for the prosecution that we cannot help him anymore and he needs to go on and be tried as an adult.
Would that be the only situation in which there would be a jury involved?
No, we still don't have any jury in juvenile court. Okay. That would just be for the determination that there is nothing more that we can do for them in juvenile court, and the offense is so bad, and their record is so bad, and their response to treatment, there's nothing more that we can do for them, and that they need to go and stand trial as an adult. We don't determine guilt or innocence in that phase. That's going to be then up to the adult court to see if they're guilty or not of the offense.
And then once they're in the adult court, they're treated as an adult.
They stay as an adult unless they're acquitted as an adult and they happen to still be 17. Then if they committed another offense, it would come back. But if not, and they are found guilty in the adult system, they are an adult forever.
Has that happened very often?
We're seeing a lot more of those because we're seeing our children committing more outrageous acts. And we're seeing that we're doing our treatment and we're doing long-term treatment and the response to that is not good. And that's our guideline, is our treatment and rehabilitation of our children's bad behavior so that when they turn 18, they won't be in that adult system. So that's part of the trigger that we have in those hearings.
I know you don't have a perfect answer to this question, but I've got to ask it. As you see things getting worse, do things run through your mind, I think that's because... And what do you think is causing things getting worse?
I think Casey nailed it on the head there. I mean, I think it's the same as it's always been. You know, we need to be grounded. We need to be grounded in some morals and some good, hard, fast rules of right and wrong. And our parents are busy. I've got a lot of good parents with some children that are just lost out there. And they've tried and they're doing good things. But we're busy. We're in a faster, and the electronics and all of that are contributing to more things that our children are exposed to. So I think that's part of the contributor.
So we're seeing a generation that's not being taught right and wrong. And maybe, just maybe, that happened to a lesser degree with the parents who are raising these, and then to a lesser degree than that with the parents who raised them. So that could be getting worse each generation.
It could, and I have seen children that I had in front of me, and now I have their children in front of me. Or I removed them as a child when their parent neglected them, and now they're neglecting their children. Sometimes the cycle is there, and sometimes we break the cycle.
Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning?
Bart, it's me.
Hey.
I had to say something else to your guest.
Okay.
I got two things that I think that ruined this country. One of the things is our judicial system does not stand its ground. If you give someone 10 years, they should do 10 years. But I feel like our judicial system is one-sided. We have two laws in this country. I feel like the rich go by a law, O.J. Simpson, and the poor people go by a law. And one more thing, if you think that you can, I'm just going to talk to the young ladies and the mothers who's supposed to teach the young ladies, we're talking Bible now, train the young ladies. If you think getting pregnant, being talked to abusive by a boy or a man, because it's happening in all ages now, being disrespected, but loving being disrespected, you are through. That is what has happened in this country. No morals. Any country with no morals will destroy itself from within. You don't believe it? Read history. No respect, young lady. Am I not right?
I think you hit it on the head.
No respect. You know what? You got older people and young people. Like you said about the, I know the people you're talking about. I know millions of them, that family that you got, that mamas and daddies. Then you get the children, number the same thing. But the thing is, I'm trying to say all this real quick. The thing is, people don't have no desire to do right anymore. Have you all seen that? I heard the young lady. I appreciate you for telling it like it is. We're in trouble. A lot of people won't admit it. They have no desire to do right. Let me tell you all something. I seen a fight in church.
A fight?
Can you believe this?
In church.
Can you believe this? I seen
time. Unfortunately, I can believe it, yes.
When we were children, we feared the church. Not only come up fearing God and respecting God, we feared church. Nowadays, go by the church sometime. One more thing, I know what I'm going to tell a lawyer. The judge, this right here. I think one of the worst things the system have done was, if you pay child support, we take them to court, they get them child support, then one family keep a child one weekend, and one child, one family keep it another, you all, that is one of the worst things that ever happened to us. You cannot raise a child in two or three different families. Have a good day.
Thank you for calling. 893-1450 is our phone number if you have a question or a comment this morning. 893-1450. We're going to pause for just a moment, check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back and continue the conversation. What are your thoughts on this? How can we turn things around? Judge Davenport says the crimes are getting more serious and the juveniles are being tried as adults because there are serious crimes. And there's just no training. What can be done? We'll be right back.
So much for those 12 steps.
You learn from those with different opinions. You're getting a street smart education from Good Neighbor Talk, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Year-end closeout sale at Ford of Murfreesboro.
No payments for 90 days.
No payments for 90 days on the 2012 Fiesta, Focus, Fusion, Edge, and Escape.
No payments for 90 days for those who qualify. That's 3 months.
Select your Ford today at Ford of Murfreesboro, where your car or SUV is waiting for you. Ford of Murfreesboro at 1550 Northwest Broad at Northfield Boulevard. Ford, drive one.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. At Bell Jewelers, we buy directly from our diamond source in Israel. Our long-standing relationship with our diamond cutter means we get to select from the best offerings first and pass the savings on to our customers. There's nothing like the sparkle of a Bell Jewelers diamond. Stop in soon and see for yourself.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad, across from Toots. Family Staffing Solutions.
Family Staffing has been a fantastic experience for me. I don't know what I would have done without them.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
They have given me hope when I didn't think there was any hope.
It's just the most involved kind of relationship, and when it works, it is so beautiful.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best. Call 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Roberts Discount Auto Repair, at 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. No accidents or stalled vehicles reported in Murfreesboro at this time. We do have, of course, a cool front that came through last night, dropping temperatures, possibly some moisture on those bridges and overpass.
Yeah, it possibly cool. Yeah, I'd say possibly cool. 23 degrees right now in uptown Murfreesboro. What about that forecast? Is it going to change?
We'll have partly sunny skies across the forecast area today, then gradually becoming sunny. We'll reach a high temperature in the lower 30s with a north-northwest wind between 5 and 10. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber. Right now, 23.
Thank you, Mandy. This weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
The only place you'll hear good neighbor talk is WGNS, Murfreesboro. Hey, call a friend right now. Spread that news.
Did you hear that on the radio?
I heard it.
Welcome back. 893-1450 is our phone number. We're talking about the Rutherford County Juvenile Court System now. Judge Donna Scott Davenport and referee Keith Siskin are with us this morning. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hi, Bart. It's me, Margie.
Hi, Margie.
Hi. This is such a serious, incredible, serious subject. I'm so glad that Miss Scott is that she's on the phone and broadcasting over the. This is so serious. I've been through this my own self as a parent. Of course, my son is 30 years old now, but as a matter of fact, on the 13th, he's fixing to be 31. But one of the main things that a lot of parents, and I deal with them now. But you know where they're at? They're out making the same mistakes that I did back at that time when my son was in middle school. I was a single mom. I was so selfish. I didn't have any... I had values, but they were very slim values. I was a very selfish person, thinking of only of myself. Sure, I worked long hours, 10 hours a day out when 840 was going through, but I made bad decisions. I thought since I worked like a guy, I needed to go where the guys went, the single guys. That was to the bars. I'd make sure my son ate, did his homework, and had a babysitter, but that was my life right there. And I think because the Lord's actually, I'm actually an ordained minister. My last drink, I had a major drinking problem. My last drink was in 02. The last time I was incarcerated was 01 for drinking and driving. And I didn't have nobody to impact me. I didn't have nobody that cared enough to get in my face, and even if I got angry at them, to still stick around. And I really think that that's where caring, real Christians need to be, is out. Even though back in the beginning when the Lord took me to the bars and stuff to talk to men and women, mostly women, and I wasn't participating in any of the things there anymore, praise God. But there's people there that need somebody to come in with a sober mind, you know, and give them hope where there is no hope. Never told him.
We need more mentors? Is that, mentor, that's...
Yes, you know, the Lord told us, he gave us a commandment to go out and preach the gospel. And it's not to point fingers. It was called to show God's unconditional love right in the midst of their sin. Right there to say, hey, you know what? You can still call on the Lord. And when... Sometimes the Lord would wake me up. I thought I was just letting my dogs go out to go to the bathroom, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, the bars close in Rutherford County at 3 o'clock. Well, when the Lord started taking me to the bars, I'm like, oh, gosh, all right, Lord, you got to tell me where we're going, because if the police pull me over, what am I going to say? The Lord told me to go driving. I don't have a clue.
You became sort of a mentor yourself.
Yes, but this was all, there was no denomination, there was no pastor telling me. It was truly by way of the Holy Spirit, praise God.
It was just, you were a caring person wanting to help other people. And that's what a mentor is. Is there a mentor program that, and I know this would be outside of juvenile court, but is there something where parents can get help, guidance in better doing their job?
And it's not outside of juvenile court, Bart.
Oh, it's
that
not.
Is, no,
it is.
That
okay.
is our role. Our role with the children that commit the acts is to help them and stop making bad decisions. We have our YSO program that somebody, you can show up at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning with your child and see a probation officer, and they'll work with you through things. And some of that may be, well, I can hook you up with a mentor, I can hook you up with anger management, whatever the issues are. On that Monday day that we have court that's just our delinquent, I have a multitude of agencies there to do nothing but assist our children, because that is our job, is to identify the issues and help them to get rid of those bad behaviors. And as Margie was saying, you got to have somebody in your face. Well, we do not play in juvenile court. We are going to be consistent in juvenile court. I am always going to be there. I'm not planning on going anywhere. And they're going to come in front of me, and I'm going to tell them what to do. And they fail to do that, I'm going to tell them what that consequence is going to be, and they're going to have that consequence. And I will stick by them, and I will be so proud of them when they do turn it around. And I have them just stopping me out in the public and saying, oh, you were so mean to me, but thank you. You know, because somebody has to be. She's right. Somebody has to be in their face and consistent and be tough, but at the same time be proud. And that's our role in juvenile court with the children that are committing the bad acts.
You know, you hear about parents who want to be the child's friend. You hear about parents who act that way, and they allow them to do things that they really shouldn't be allowed to do. And so it sounds like for the first time, when they come into the court, they're being told, no, you can't do that. Here's what you have to do. And you give strict guidelines. First time they've ever had that in their life, probably.
A lot of times it is, because when I tell them, no, it's going to be what I say. And we locked up quite a few children over Christmas because they did not go to school. And I told them if they didn't go to school, they were going to forfeit their Christmas vacation. They'll get out tonight at 6 o'clock and ready to go to school, hopefully, tomorrow. Because we are going to abide by the laws, and that's my job to make sure that they do. And when I talk about all these services that we have, it still starts with the family having to work with us. It still goes back to that.
That's interesting. You have a consequence for your decision. Is it a good consequence or a bad one? That's up to you, whatever your decision is. You choose to go to school or not to go to school. If you choose to go to school, hey, you're going to live a good life. If you choose not to, you're going to end up in jail. And they're trying that.
And they're not going to be educated. And that's our goal, is to get everybody educated so that they have a ticket they can punch when they turn 18 and go into society. That's our job.
And you're seeing it work now, it sounds like. It's working for those who choose to make it work.
Absolutely.
You can't force somebody to make their life good.
No, they have the free will. We can just give them the avenues to go down, the good avenues to go down, and help them hold their hand and have them do that. But they've got to be receptive of that as well.
Referee Keith Siskin, how does your job as a referee of the juvenile court system, how does that work with what Judge Davenport just described there?
Well, I handle things the same way. When I'm hearing delinquent cases, you know, I tell these children, I say, look, you know, here's what's going to happen. It's up to you now. The ball's in your court. You make the choice. But if you make the wrong choice, you're going to come back, and I'm not going to have any choice except to lock you down. So I make it clear to them that it's up to them to make the decision, like you were saying. And sometimes they do, and sometimes it takes two or three times before they realize what they need to do.
How many juveniles made the wrong decision and have spent Christmas locked up, approximately?
I think we had 17 total, which is very low, because we can house 60-something.
That sounds like a lot of kids.
And I'm not sure how many are Rutherford children, Rutherford County children, because we do contract with other counties to hold their juveniles, but I think that was our count over the holiday, and I really don't know how many of those were Rutherford County children.
By the way, I will say this. In visiting the juvenile detention center, although it is clean, nice, and lots of caring people, you do feel as if you're in jail. I mean, there's no question. You feel like you don't have the freedoms that others have, because two or three reasons. You're locked up. You are locked up. You are wearing the black and white striped outfits that traditionally you see in the movies. So you're getting that feeling of, this is not quite as good as the outside world. Even if you've had a rough life, this is not quite as good as the outside world. And maybe I better listen more closely to make some changes. Good morning, you're on WGNS.
Yes, good morning to y'all. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
But is it in a way that the parents can be held responsible for the things that their children are doing? I'm talking about, like, you have the parents a day or two in jail if the child keeps doing the things that they're doing. The parents are responsible for the children.
Well, the parents are ultimately the, I hate to say it, but probably the cause of the children's actions.
That's what I'm talking about. Is anything we can do with the parents?
What about that, Judge Scott?
Well, we do sometimes put the parents under an order as well, that they will, if they're on house arrest, that they'll make sure, you know, and some parents, the children sneak out. We understand that. But when we catch them at a bar together... That type thing.
You mean
and all
the
that
children
sound,
and the parents?
Yes. Somebody just,
oh,
y'all just
no.
need to come visit us for a while, you know. Then, or it was my birthday and I deserved to go out, so I left him alone and I knew he was going to go out. Well, again, it's that selfishness. But to answer your caller's question, there are two statues on the book that we have never utilized in Rutherford County. That I would love to see done. There is statutes that says that parents can be charged with contributing to the delinquency of their children, as well as to their status offenses. But I don't charge people. That would be up, I believe, to the district attorney's office to enforce that. But we do with our parents that are not getting their children in school. There is a statute, and I'm hoping to focus on that next month, that we'll talk about what our consequences are for our parents not having their children in school.
Let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Juvenile Court Judge Donna Scott Davenport and referee Keith Siskin. How are you this morning?
All right.
Good morning.
Who's keeping our grown adults in check watching our juveniles?
Well, I don't know who would do that unless they break a law. Nobody's keeping them in check, I would guess.
Well, I've gone through this, and it was split states, state of Wyoming and Tennessee. And I went through the stuff 2004 that I had to go through parenting class, all that. And then the caseworker in Wyoming calls me up. And my daughter's gone. So who's keeping our adults in check watching our children? I'll get off there and listen. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. So it sounds like his daughter was in Wyoming with the other parent, and then the daughter ran away or is missing. Who's responsible? Why did that parent in the other state... That's a hard one. There's no way to answer that.
There isn't. In a lot of our abuse cases, we have that. We have an absentee father because the mother maybe has kept the father out of the picture, and the mother loses the child because of neglect or abuse, and then the father comes in. The father's a perfectly wonderful person and able to care for the child. And so there's all kinds of obstacles. You'd have to see the whole picture to see maybe what interfered with that.
And if you put them states as far apart as that, or just any states, you multiply the problems, or the potential for a problem, I would think.
Absolutely.
893-1450 is our phone number, 893-1450. We will continue the conversation in just a moment. Right now, we're going to check on the weather. We're talking this morning about the juvenile court system. We're talking about raising children to be good members of society. That's what we're really talking about, and that is really the goal of the Rutherford County Juvenile Court system. Judge Donna Scott Davenport and referee Keith Siskin with us this morning. Perhaps you can get a feel for what they're working with. I don't know what the answer is to change things, but it's going to need some big changes in society.
Murfreesboro owned. Murfreesboro proud. Talk radio WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Most of the people listening to my voice right now know someone who is battling an addiction. Spring to Life is a Christ-centered recovery program right here in Murfreesboro. Our mission is to help people find freedom from addiction and discover how much fun is found in living with Christ. So if you know someone who is suffering from addiction, give us a call at 615-849-3247 or visit our website at springtolife.net. Spring to Life, learning to love living again.
Hello, partly sunny skies across the forecast area today, then gradually becoming sunny. We'll reach a high temperature in the lower 30s with a north-northwest wind between 5 and 10. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Feluber. Right now, 23.
Friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta leather sectional. Regular $10.99. They have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Broadcasting from the tallest tower in the city with that little red light on top. FM 100.5, FM 101.9, and AM 1450.
I know that it's just not enough. My words were cold and flat, and you deserve more than that. Another aeroplane, another sunny place. I'm lucky, I know, but I wanna go home. I got to go home.
We're talking about children who sometimes don't even have a home to go to. That's one of the problems. We're talking this morning with juvenile court judge Donna Scott Davenport and referee Keith Siskin. And let's go back to the phones. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you this morning? Hello there. Good morning. Hello. Did you have a thought you wanted to share with us? Hello? I don't hear a thing but somebody moving the phone around. Call us back, though, if you have a question or a comment. 893-1450 is our number. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Got a question I was wanting to ask. You said it was a judge. Who was in there this morning?
We have with us this morning juvenile court judge Donna Scott Davenport and referee Keith Siskin.
Okay. Just a question. I guess I just want to get their thought or their, I guess their thought on this question. But if you have a, you know, an underage girl that is raped and the guy is convicted of raping her and he goes to jail for it, and do y'all think that a man like that should have rights to see the child if she gets the girl gets pregnant from the rape? Do y'all think the guy that did the rape and he should have rights to see that child that's born from that, you know, happening?
Wow, that is a hard question.
Well, I don't think that we make the law, you know, and I don't really have an answer for that because I don't know what the laws are on the books, if there's any law that says that the victim can have contact with the perpetrator or the product of that offense. magistrate?
Yeah, I agree that, you know, our duty is to follow the laws as our legislature writes them, and I'm not aware of anything that directly touches on that issue. I mean, my gut reaction, like everybody listening, is probably, you know, no, they should not morally have that right if the child is a product of the rape. But I'm not aware of any statute, and certainly in the juvenile code, that touches directly on that. So I guess we'd listen to the evidence, and our duty is always to look out for the best interests of each child.
Out of curiosity, have you been there and seen that happen?
Well, no.
Yes, that's the reason I was calling. It's happened, and I wish there was something different we could do, because, you know, knowing that this guy is probably going to have rights to see this child, you know, because of what he did. I mean, it it is happening, and it's happening to us, and that's when I was kind of getting, you know, I guess your thought on it, but I wish there was more I could do to prevent it.
I think there is something. I think you, in 7 days, the General Assembly will begin. On January the 10th, you need to talk personally with every one of our elected leaders, the two state senators and our state representatives, and let's get some laws on the books to change that, if that's happening right now.
It is. So you're saying going to them with this...
They're the ones who make the laws, right? They make the laws.
Yeah, because it's actually the state is giving this guy the rights, which it just blowed me out of the water. I mean, just blowed me out of the water. But it is happening, and I don't think it's right. But I will try to see what we can do to get a hold of somebody to try to get this turned around, because you know, that's crazy, somebody like it having rights being able to see a child after he'd done something like that and serve time for it.
Thank you for calling. Good luck to you on that. Let us know how that works. And our elected officials, by the way, the senators and representatives, will start being back on the air with us on the last Friday of each month, starting this month, since the General Assembly will be back in session. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, good morning, Bart, and good morning to your guests that you have on. I'm really enjoying your program. I just have a couple of concerns. And we're talking about children, and we're talking about the laws and things. My concern is that with children today, they're not like it was with me. I'm 50-plus years old. They know their rights, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't know their rights, because we all should know what our rights are. But I have worked with children in foster care, and I have also worked with my biological nieces and nephews. And they use their rights against the parents or their caregivers to get what they want. And then when they have to go before Judge Davenport, it's just like, I mean, she does a wonderful job, don't get me wrong. It's just that the kids are using their rights to get over, because they don't want to be in a situation. They don't want to mind.
Interesting.
What it is.
So our laws sometimes become our enemies. And Judge Davenport, do you see that happening?
We do. We have a lot of parents that said they threatened to call the Department of Children's Services, and we have a lot that maybe commit an offense, and we're holding them for that detention hearing, and they disclose that they've been abused, or there's something going on in the home that's harmful to them, and of course we make a referral to the department and we investigate that, and we're obligated to investigate the safety of our children. But at the same time, you know, our parents need to be empowered to know what they need to do as well as parents.
And on that note, we want to say thank you to Judge Donna Scott Davenport and Referee Keith Siskin, not only for being with us today, but for all that they do here in our community. The news is next.